Today, my dear brothers and sisters, we have arrived at the end of the liturgical year, and we are celebrating the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King. And this is a good opportunity for us to reflect on what does it mean to have Christ as King. We see in today's first reading, we hear about David. That's why that was off. Okay. So we heard from the second book of Samuel, and we hear how David is made king of Israel. And I don't know if you've ever really read, I hope you have spent time reading the Old Testament and reading about David. He's close to my heart. He's my confirmation name. And I always loved him for two reasons. One, because of his bravery. God called him as the last of seven sons, and he was out in the fields. He was a nobody. He was the last brother, the littlest one. And God calls him. But the other part that always has very much attracted me to David is that David, as he's made king and as he lives out being king of Israel, he comes to a time as king where he loses sight of following God. And first, it's interesting to see how easy that can happen, because David forgets that he was a nobody. He's made king. He's powerful. You know, he's beating the nation. God is working through him, beating the nations, and he's somebody. He becomes somebody. And he very easily, very quickly loses sight of God, and very quickly and very easily loses sight of his responsibility to follow God. And because of that, he falls into sin. And I very much like David as my confirmation name, because it is very easy to lose sight of God. But the Old Testament says, what was it that God admired most about David? And what God admires most about David is his desire to repent, his ability to recognize his sin and to repent. And my dear brothers and sisters, David has a lot to teach us, because we can very easily in our lives lose sight of what it means to follow Christ. We can very easily become somebody. You know, we strive to become someone. None of us want to be a nobody. We work hard in our careers. We work hard to have security. We work hard for the world to see us. And in doing all of that, none of those things are bad, but in doing all of that, we can very easily lose sight of the true King, which is Jesus Christ. We can very easily think ourselves in control. And my dearest brothers and sisters, we have an amazing ability. We're professionals. We hold doctoral degrees, and we have each a doctoral dissertation in making messes. Father, don't say that. But it's true, because we very easily lose sight of God. And we, like David, begin to do what we want, how we want, And then we begin to hit our head against a wall, and then we ask ourselves, why does my head hurt? And not only do we ask, why does my head hurt, but we keep hitting our head against the same wall. And instead, my dear brothers and sisters, David teaches us true humility before God, to recognize the need that we have to repent and to return to the Lord. We're going to have this opportunity now that we come to the end of this liturgical year. Next weekend, we begin the liturgical year with Advent. And Advent will be a wonderful opportunity as we prepare for the coming of Christ for us to repent, to recognize before God that we have left his ways, that we have persisted in our stubbornness, that we have persisted in our hard-heartedness, and return to the Lord. Advent has an aspect of Lent in it, and so I invite you in this season of Advent to partake of the sacrament of confession. There will be more than ample opportunities. We see David in the first reading. In this gospel, we see Jesus Christ, the true king. And how does Christ become king? By emptying himself. By giving himself on the cross for us. You know, that is what I just said is very deeply theological. Yay, Father. Good job. It's very true. Yay, Father. Good job. Star, my theology teachers would be very proud of me right now. But my dear brothers and sisters, what does it mean that Christ has emptied himself? He emptied himself to become, God empties himself to become man. Why? St. Paul says it. So that we can be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Again, another very good theological point. But the problem is that we don't live as if we really understand what that means, because what I just said to you, oh, that sounds nice, Father. Great. But we don't recognize the magnitude of God becoming man. And the magnitude of that is that we do not any longer have to live as slaves to sin. We have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness. We have been transferred from the kingdom of sin. And it ruffles everybody's feather. Oh, why, Father, are you talking about sin? Because sin is very much a reality in our life. And this is the first problem as to why we don't live as we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Because we also hold doctoral dissertations in excusing ourselves. We are Albert Einsteins in being able to tell ourselves, no, I'm not so bad. I'm not as bad as those people that, you know, they commit sins, the ones that are doing drugs and the ones that are drinking and the ones that are stealing. I'm not that bad. I pay my taxes. I'm nice to people. I'm even Catholic nice. I do what I'm supposed to. I come to church. But therein, my dear brothers and sisters, lies the problem. And this is why we keep hitting our head against the same wall. Because we do sin. Sin is a very deep reality in each one of our lives in this church. A very deep reality. And the first step is going before the Lord and saying, Lord, it's true. I have allowed sin to take root in my life. And for each one of us, that sin is different. We each have our sins. There's a long list of things I can go through. But the first step is being able to go to the Lord and say, Lord, it's true. It's true, I have sinned. And to bring that sin to the Lord, who sent his Son for us so that we could live as free men and women, so that we can live different than the world lives, so that we can follow the true King, which is Jesus Christ. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, I invite you, as we have this season and this opportunity, I truly invite you to take some time in this week and really to put yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, and this might be a little scary. In fact, it's going to be a little scary because this is like that thing about being humble and saying, Lord, make me humble, make me humble. We get very pious about that, but then we get very angry when the Lord shows us that we're not humble. But I want us to do that with sin. I want us to sit before the Lord and say, Lord, help me to see my sin. Help me to see the necessity I have to abandon that sin. And then I truly invite you in this period to partake of freedom through the sacrament of confession, and then to live that freedom in our daily life. Because, my dear brothers and sisters, there are still many people trapped by sin who don't know it. In fact, in this next week, you're going to see many people as we come together for Thanksgiving. In this next week, you can very easily be instruments of God, not by going around and telling everybody they're a sinner. That's not what I mean. Don't do that. Don't do that, because already there'll be many families fighting over politics and all of those things. Welcome to Thanksgiving. But anyway, but you have the ability to speak about Jesus Christ, to live as people who have been transferred to the light, to the kingdom of light. How many people in this next week can your light touch? Imagine. So, my dear brothers and sisters, as we come to this Eucharist, we ask the Lord for this gift, for the gift to be able to recognize our darkness so that we can live in the light.